The One Man by Andrew Gross. Read for you by Eduardo Ballerini. Recent reports, both through the newspapers and Secret Service, have given indications that the Germans may be in possession of a powerful new weapon, which is expected to be ready between November and January 1944. There seems to be considerable probability that this new weapon is tube alloy, i.e. uranium. It is not necessary to describe the probable consequences which would result if this proves to be the case. It is possible that the Germans have, or will have by the end of the year, enough material accumulated to make a large number of gadgets which they will release on the same time on England, Russia, and this country. In this case, there would be little hope for counteraction. This would place particularly Britain in an extremely serious position, but there would be hope for counteraction from our side before the war is lost, provided our own tube alloy program is drastically accelerated in the next few weeks. Manhattan Project physicists Edward Teller and Hans Bethe to Robert Oppenheimer. August 21st, 1943. Prologue. The private room is on the fourth floor of the geriatric wing at the Edward Hines Jr. Veterans Administration Hospital outside Chicago. Bent old men shuffling down the hall in hospital gowns, with nurses guiding them and portable IVs on their arms. The woman steps in. In her mid-50s, but still young-looking, smartly put together, in a short quilted Burberry jacket and olive cowl, her dark hair in a ponytail, and sees her father in a chair, looking smaller than she'd ever seen him before, frailer, even in the 2 months since the funeral. For the first time, she can see the bony lines of his cheeks coming through, yet still with that remarkable full head of hair, graying but not yet white. He has a blanket draped over his lap, the television on. CNN. One thing you could always count on, even in the middle of a Bears game on Thanksgiving with all the grandkids around, was her dad asking if they could put on the news. Just to hear what's happening. What's wrong with that? But he's not watching this time, just staring out blankly. She notices his hand shaking. Pop? The day nurse, seated across from him, puts down her book and stands up. Look who's here! He barely turns, no longer hearing so well in his right ear. His daughter goes in and smiles to the nurse, a large black woman from St. Lucia, whom they hired to be with him pretty much full time. When he finally catches sight of her, her father's face lights up in a happy smile. Nat! I told you I was coming, Pop. She bends down beside him and gives him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. I've been waiting for you, he says. You have? Of course. What else is there to do here? Her eyes are drawn to the shelf next to his bed, to the things she put there on her last visit, a month ago. The Northern Illinois Bar Association Man of the Year plaque that was on the wall in his office. The photo of him and her mom at the Great Wall in China. A shot of the 38-foot Hatteras he kept in Jupiter, Florida, which they had now put up for sale. Photos of the grandkids, her own boys, Luke and Jared among them. Mementos of a full and happy life. Greg said he'd be by a little later, her husband. He had some business to attend to. Business cleaning up a few issues related to the old house in Highland Park and some lingering matters connected to her mother's estate. Her father looks up. Business? Here? Just some things, Pop. Not to worry yourself. We'll take care of them. He just nods compliantly. Okay. Even a year ago, he would have put on his glasses and insisted on reviewing every document, every bill of sale. She runs her hand affectionately through his still thick hair. So, 92, huh? Still looking pretty dashing, Dad.
For an old guy, not so bad.